You're listening to the Devi Hour Podcast, part of the RotoHeat.com family of podcasts.
So welcome back. It is Thursday night for those of you on YouTube. It is after 9:30 Eastern time. It is the Devi Hour. I appreciate you guys hanging out tonight. We got a special episode. It's going to be fun because we brought probably one of my favorite guests that's been on the Roto Heat podcast streams, whatever we've done. We have Shane Hallam from FakePigskin.com and Pinnacle of Devi and so many other things that he works on. Find him over on Twitter. His name is below his picture. Go follow him because you won't regret it. Shane, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me. It's always fun to talk Devi, and you know, I'm really excited to do it, man. We've been having a blast in this Pinnacle Devi draft, so I really wanted to come on and chat with you about it, because I haven't really gotten to talk to anyone, you know, like face-to-face like this about it, and it's been exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been a blast. And our resident critic, Paul Veldboom, how are you, brother?
I'm excellent. It's almost Friday. Got my taxes. Got a raise today.
It's coming up all today.
It's a good day. Yeah, I played like three games of Call of Duty and won one of the awards. On so yeah, it's a good day.
And Shane, what you don't know is that a lot of people in the Roto Heat community are big Call of Duty Warzone fans, so we've all been playing around and having a good time with that, so that's always a fun talking point.
We're doing after this,
we probably will jump off for a little bit after this, depending on how it goes. So it's interesting. So we don't know what's going to happen, you know. Obviously, we know we talked about in the last few episodes that, you know, we know Ivy League schools aren't playing until the spring, if at all. We've been hearing that, you know, there's interconference play that's going to happen. Shane, because I haven't heard your take on it, what is your take on fall football? What's your gut tell you? What have you been hearing? What do you just think? You know, because obviously SEC guys, they want to play ball. They want to get out there. Some of the Big Ten schools are still planning. You know, Notre Dame wants to do it. But what's your gut tell you about football this fall?
Yeah, it's tough, right? My gut tells me no, and my heart tells me yes. So I think that's kind of where we're at. I think at best will be conference play. You know, we've seen a lot of conferences move to that. Obviously, the SEC has been pushing back. I mean, Alabama already has an agreement with BYU, it seems, for week one. If that happens, BYU is an independent, so they have no games if there's only conference play. So, there's so many pieces, complex pieces, I think, to the puzzle that makes me scared for. Do I think that it'll be canceled outright? I'm hopeful that it won't be. I think if we see, you know, we see baseball start up now, if we see basketball and things go well, then I think college can try. But I think college has a bigger barrier than the NFL. The NFL is a company. It's privately owned. They're there to make money. And obviously, a lot of these universities are there to make money too. But that academic and public aspect that most of them have, not all, but most of them have, is going to play a part. So I'm trepidatious that it's going to happen. I think it might be kind of on and off, limited. Maybe we'll have, even if it's just a couple weeks, I'll be happy, you know, to have that. And I think a lot of these players that, you know, that we'll talk about tonight that are likely going to declare for the 2021 draft or have that shot, you know, they want to play. They want to play a little bit and get yourself out there and get some tape out there. And I think that's going to be the tough piece. So, you know, I've almost been drafting, you know, I just drafted my first College to Canton League. Mm-hmm. So College of Campus League, to Canton League. So, you know, I kind of drafted my college team Devi based, because if there's no season, you know, why am I trying to win this college league? Right. So, absolutely. So probably 85% of my picks were just guys I think will be good in the NFL. And I unfortunately, I think that has to be the plan for everyone looking inward, but I'm hopeful, I think, with the rest of you and everyone watching, that it's going to be more.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I wish the best for all these sports, but I think basketball is going to be the only one that we really see a very high success rate, because it's so contained. They're in the bubble. I mean, there's no way that, I mean, if you get COVID cases, I'll be surprised because of the way they've locked it down. And, you know, I've been trying to watch some of the basketball players' blogs on YouTube and kind of see what the NBA's, you know, how they're doing testing, to see if there's things that the college and high school, you know, because I was joking with you before the show. You know, I've been calling around some of the guys that I know that do high school sports in some of the states nearby to get a vibe for our Pinnacle of Debbie draft, but also picking their brain, seeing what their testing is going to look like and how they want to do it. And, you know, I'm really interested to see if the NFL and college will take some of what you were seeing in the NBA and in MLB, because obviously we just saw, you know, more big named MLB players go down with COVID and they didn't know they have it. They've been practicing with the team. You know, the guy from Yankees, was it Soto? I can't pronounce his
name. Yeah, from the Nationals.
You know, they got a game with the Yankees coming up and you're seeing COVID cases running rampant, but the NBA is still at zero, like nothing. And that's really interesting to me. You know, I just wanted to get your take on it. You know, Paul and I kind of bantered about it last week, the week before. You know, and we're both kind of in the NCAA wants to make money, and I imagine they're going to try to find a way to do something this fall. But it's hard, you know, because these are kids and they're not really getting paid. You know, they got to keep them safe
now. For now.
But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm hopeful that there's something because. You know, as a guy who looks at draft prospects and is already starting trying to research the 2021 class for, you know, for RotoEat, it's like I'd like some better college film on some of these guys that are expected to be early prospects. You know, some guys that I think have question marks in my mind. So interesting, very interesting. So that being said, let's talk about the Pinnacle of Debbie. So this is your brainchild. It's been fun. You know, we're 51 rounds in, so we're just over halfway. So it might finish up this year, which would be exciting, you know, as long as I don't slow us down too much. Talk about it. Tell me how you've been feeling about it. You know, you're the mastermind behind this. Have you been enjoying what you've come up with? Have you been enjoying the process, the owners, everything that's going into it? And, you know, just tell me kind of your thoughts about it.
Sure. So this kind of came out of my head a little bit. I'm in a league that's similar to this, and I really enjoyed drafting in. And then we had some issues with some rules, technicalities, and things like that. And I was like, man, if we could really firm this up, expand it to 12 teams, because that was only 10 teams, and just get some really great Debbie minds, I think it could be kind of setting the pace for Debbie, right? This is kind of the deepest thing, you know, and putting the IDP in, I think, gives it a nice twist just to have, and not scoring till 2022. You have to think about how your picks kind of the domino effect of where they are and what's happening. So I've really enjoyed the kind of mental gymnastics to try to tackle a 100-round Debbie league. How many do you take of each position? Where do you take these guys? When do you trade up? When do you trade down? Does that happen? I think there's all these small pieces of the puzzle. And then I think, honestly, it's going to be even more fun next year if we see these guys play and you're like, hey, this guy drafted in the third round, oh, he's no good. You know, now I don't have any running backs. How do you replace that? You know, a lot of these high school players are gone. Who are the ones that emerge? It's really interesting. So I've really enjoyed it. I think, you know, we've gotten such a great group. I was happy to get you in there, Brad. And, you know, we have just some great minds. I'm actually jumping in at Kane Fossils in the league. And him and I are going to be I'll be jumping into his podcast, the Debbie Marketplace, talking Debbie. Starting next week. And so, love him. I mean, Travis May's been making graphs of every team and every position and what years are getting taken. You know, Adam Lewis and Rob Willett, I've played with in Debbie leagues for almost a decade. So Chris Toops is a great podcast. Just a great group of guys. And we've had fun in the chat kind of going back and forth about different things. And everyone's been pretty kind with it, but check it out on Twitter if you haven't seen it. Then there's a link in the Twitter profile to the draft. You can go and look at the draft. You can go look at the roles, kind of see if it's even something you want to start for yourself. If you're into this, I think it's something that could be fun, or you can scale it down and do whatever you want to do. But I'm looking forward to it, and it's just about drafting. That's what I always find the most fun. I don't like waivers. Like it's like the bane of my existence in fantasy football. It's like waivers. And we're just going to draft an infinite number of roster spots. Whoever is in the NFL by the time we're playing, they're on your roster. It's best ball, and whoever wins the money. And so you don't have to worry about a thing other than drafting. That's what I like to do. So it's been fun. It's been fun to see where some of these players go, guys that I'd pegged 30 rounds later I was going to target, and then they go, you know, they go 30 rounds earlier than I was going to take them. Like, ah, crap, I kind of wanted that guy, though. So I think that's always fun, and I think it's going to be really fun in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, 10 years to look back at this draft and be like, you know, who the hell is this guy he took in the second round? Like, he never did anything. And I think that's some of the most fun things to do when you're in a league that hopefully this one will go on for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, hopefully my guys will be playing by the time we get to the 10-year mark, because the fun fact that Travis put out that I did not realize is 40% of my roster is high school players. I'm like, oh, maybe I should start drafting some college guys so they might actually be on my team this year, you know, next few years. So, yeah, it's been a blast because, you know, my Monday night guys, Paul and Craig, I put the link in there because I do Devy with them. Both. So I put the link in there and they've been following it, you know, either on Twitter, because Paul doesn't do Twitter, but Craig does Twitter. So Craig's been following on Twitter and he'll send a message out like, oh, hey, you know, I see this guy just got drafted. What's up with that? Or, you know, and Paul's been, I mean, obviously you talked to Paul before the show. He's our critic. So he lets me know the bad decisions I've made or the bad moves that have been made, which is fun. I mean, you know, typically anytime I've gone to draft an FSU guy, you know, like Altmaier, when I drafted Altmaier a couple of rounds back, I sent Paul a message. I'm like, all right, I'm about to pull the trigger on Altmaier. Do you really think he's of any good? And, you know, and sometimes Paul, I trust his opinion. Sometimes Paul, I don't agree at even remotely with him. So, you know, so I kind of pick his brain and because he's our big FSU guy and just kind of hear him out. And it's been interesting because I've had to talk to more of my people out in the world a little bit more than I thought I would, because, you know, like with Drew Viotto from Walled Lake Western, I messaged my guy in Michigan. I'm like, all right, I need some high schoolers in Michigan that are promising. And, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of guys. So who do you think? And they're like, oh, we'll check out this kid from Walled Lake or check out this kid from Central Christian. So I'll pull up, you know, whatever little bit of tape I can find. So it's been fun. I didn't expect myself to be drafting nearly as many high school students. So I'm a little disappointed in myself that I skipped the college ranks and just was like, I'll find the kids that are growing up. Like, what middle schooler is about to go to high school and I'm going to draft him. So, Paul, what have you been thinking as you've been watching this, you know, other than that we're crazy for drafting 100 rounds of Devy, because I have been told that a few times, but I'm just like, you're crazy.
Here was my first thought. Why did you not put a limit on college only? And that way, and maybe you do, instead of 100 rounds, maybe you do 60 to 75, but that way you'd be hitting the smaller schools harder, which would make you watch the smaller schools. Versus simply being like, all right, what's the 247 list for 2025 look like? Why didn't you put a limit, or say even high school seniors only, or why was there no age limit?
So, you know, I play in a lot of Devy leagues with an age limit, you know, just college guys or, you know, like you said, just those kind of high school seniors perhaps. And I think my goal really was to have a draft that was kind of the deepest, right? Just to have it be open that, hey, if you want to take a player that is in middle school, that you can do it. You know, any person that's not in the NFL is open in this draft. And I've never seen that before. You know, I've just never seen it before. And so I think to me, it allowed for more strategy, because I think we definitely have a guy like Ben Rolfe who, you know, lives in the UK. He has by far the most players eligible for 2021, by far, of any team. And that's been his strategy. He's going to take those college guys. He's taken some of those smaller college guys, and that's going to be, you know, his strategy. And then you have Brad on the other side, that's 40% of his team's from high school. So you kind of get to make your way how you want to make it and how you want to do it. And so I found it more fun to be able to do that, because I think what we're seeing now, and we're only halfway through, but now we're starting to see those small school guys go. We have a North Dakota State, a South Dakota State, you know, we have some of those smaller schools start to go, and I think it'll trickle down more. And the other thing is, I honestly, at least Brad, you can comment too, you know, or either one of you can comment, but I find it harder sometimes to find the smaller school college tape than high school tape. It's actually more difficult to find, you know, Dayton than it is to find a big, big high school, right? And so I definitely wanted people to be able to watch as well. And so, yeah, there's a lot of looking at lists and having a starting point. But, you know, 24/7 doesn't have a 2025 list. So you got to go out and find it. And, you know, I took a 2025 guy in the 10th round. And, you know, that's something that we'll see if it, you know, if it pays off or not. But I think that's what's fun, is to know, when am I supposed to take these guys, right? Because I think when you limit to just college, you kind of know what that order is going to be, or maybe where you can take players. And I think with the high school aspect, what it really did was no one really knows what the value of these high school players are. And so you have to kind of plan. You know, I'll give you an example. Like, I traded down to the 10th round. I got back-to-back picks. My plan was to try to kind of start the high school run. I wanted to take Caleb Williams, who I have as the top quarterback, probably going to Oklahoma from Gonzaga High School, and Travion Henderson, the top running back I have, that's going to Ohio State. My plan was to take him in the 10th, and Caleb Williams goes in the 8th. And I was like, oh, crap. I did not think people would dig into high school yet. And so I had to kind of scramble and change. And I ended up taking two super young guys, a high school, you know, sophomore, high school junior, in the 10th round instead. So, you know, I think that was kind of fun, to try to guess where these high school players are going to go. Where do you compare them to college? You know, is someone like Caleb Williams, you know, is he more valuable, you know, than a Matt Corral, or is he more valuable than a Miles Brennan? I don't know. And I think that's something that we all had to hash out on our own. So I thought that was kind of fun, and something that I haven't seen before. And I just didn't want to limit, you know, when you have these 12 great minds, I just really didn't want to limit what they could do with their teams.
It was amazing and terrifying all at the same time, because as we had time to build our list. I mean, we had a month and a half lead time to kind of put it all together. You know, I started to build it, and I started to go, okay, at what point do I want to draft a high schooler? And as we got into the draft, that completely went out the window, because I'd get to a point where I've got a block of guys where I'm like, okay, about this point is where I want to take these guys, and then half of them would be gone before I could get to them. And I'm like, okay, so then I just kind of scrambled, like, all right, well, I want to take, you know, this high schooler, but all these other guys that I thought were going to go later, you know, just like you said earlier, guys went ahead of where you thought they'd go, or they, you know, and it's like, okay. So then everything, for me, it was all bets are off. And at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to take the guys that I like the most. And it doesn't matter to me what round they're going in, because I could care less. As long as I get my guys at the end of the draft, then I'm happy. And if my guys suck, well, then I was a terrible decision maker, and I'll have to draft better next year. I mean, like, you know, I've tried to not limit myself, because I don't know these other guys well enough to know their draft strategy. You know, I've unfortunately gotten too comfortable with that in fantasy football, that I know my league owners well enough to know what they think. With these guys, I have no clue what they think, and I'm learning quickly that, you know, they think differently than me. So I liked it. I liked that it was open-ended. It was just, you know, and absolutely, smaller school guys, it's hard to get footage on. You know, I'll pick up, you know, Phil Steele's guide and read through it on some of these small schools to get a feel for what he's saying. Or I'll listen to, you know, Move the Sticks and see if maybe they say something, which they never do. But, you know, I'll try to pick minds and try to listen to people. But small school, man, is so hard, because there is just so many, there's just not enough footage of them. And I'm like, these schools need to get love, because every year in the NFL draft, we see small school prospects taken. There's got to be something we can find on these guys. So there you go, Paul. Long and the short of it, it's because, damn it, he wanted to, and that's what he's going to do. So that's what he did. So it's definitely been fun. It's been a blast. I've really enjoyed, you know, kind of listening. And I've done more listening than anything. You know, the guys are blowing up the chat, and I just kind of am like taking it in. I'm like, okay, fair enough. You know, it's getting to know these guys, so that when I draft next year, I'll have a better idea on what they're doing. So maybe I don't lose out on half the guys I wanted. So we'll see. But tonight is going to be fun. We're going to talk about a group that needs love, and that's the IDP side. You know, when you think of Devy as a whole, IDP doesn't typically get drafted much in Devy leagues. And if it is, it's kind of the big names. Like last year, it would have been the Chase Youngs of the world. He would have been on somebody's Devi roster in the last couple of years. Or, you know, right now, we'll talk about inevitably a guy like Dylan Moses. You know, you kind of see the high-end names maybe get taken, but normally it's mostly offensive guys. So we wanted to take an episode and we wanted to talk, you know, just about some of the big names because, you know, our goal of this show is to continue to bring up people that you need to be watching on Saturdays, hopefully if there's football in the fall. These are guys that you want to look at that will probably get to the league and be impactful on your IDP roster. You know, obviously in Devi, you don't, you know, like I said, you don't see a lot of guys go. But Shane, because you're our guest of honor, you know, who's kind of your favorite defensive guy in college that's a name that people are going to want to look at if they haven't already?
And I'm kind of with you because I think IDP is tough. I'm in a couple IDP Devi leagues, and I think it is difficult to get yourself to commit when it's a deeper group and people don't know as much. They're not drafting them. My number one IDP, regardless of position, is Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end from Oregon, freshman last year. And just to come in as a freshman and be such a just man. You know, this is a guy that was ready for the NFL. And I really, probably the last player that I felt like could have jumped from high school to the NFL is Adrian Peterson. I think he could have done that. Kayvon Thibodeau is probably the next guy. Like, and even, you know, we're drafting all these high school guys. I don't see one that I think can just jump to the NFL. I think Kayvon Thibodeau could have been a 5-6 sack guy in the NFL last year as a freshman in college. But I mean, that's how good he is. And, you know, he just the power, the low stance, and kind of the explosion off of the snap. You know, I just really love when a defensive end, a pass rusher, when they have their hand in the ground and are able just to kind of explode through their hips right through that offensive tackle. And these offensive tackles in the Pac-12, I mean, we have guys that are going to get drafted in the first round in the next year or two that couldn't handle him. He's going up in practice against the best offensive tackle in college football in Penei Sewell, who's going to be a top three pick next year. And from accounts, has dominated him. So, you know, this is a player that's going to be really good. And, like, taking a defensive end in a Devi draft is scary, but the nice thing is you can get a steal, right? If Thibodeau is – and he's going to be eligible for the 2022 draft. Mm-hmm. You know, if he is the number one or number two overall pick in that draft and you end up getting him, you know, at the end of your Devi draft, that's going to be a win. That's going to be more value for you. So I think he's going to be a multi-sack guy in the NFL for a long time. And I think he's by far my number one IDP guy.
Yeah. I would like to see, because he's, what is he, like 6'5", 6'6", I would love to see him put on a little more weight and see if he can still play with that explosion. Because his frame, like, he looks lean, but man, he's so good. He is so powerful. He's got such a good move to him. And he did it at such a young age that it's fascinating. I mean, I was impressed. I mean, he's probably arguably one of the best DNs in college, and he was, you know, a freshman. So, Paul, what do you think about Thibodeau?
I'm concerned that he's only 240. I think he was Kolavion Chaisson last year, and he went in the first round. I'm not a huge Chaisson fan because I kind of saw one trick out of him. But when he shows that trick and he's only a freshman,
big.
Yeah, he's pretty locked into top 10 status in that year, and I think he can only really take himself out of it. And I'm a little more conservative about judging a couple seasons out, and if I'm down on him and I'm saying the guy's a top 10 selection, yeah, he's good.
Well, and the nice thing is that the one knock you have on him is the thing that strength and conditioning crew can fix. Like, you can add muscle to that frame and still, you know, so, like, if that's the big knock, then I would take that, you know. He's a stud for sure. Paul, who would be your absolute favorite?
I have Thibodeau at number two. I would put Parsons number one, just because of the known ceiling that the inside backer usually has. If you want to sit there and say, hey, there's not as many edge athletes, okay, fine. It's almost what platform on you are you on? But that's a Monday night question, not a Thursday night. He's going to be sitting in the middle of someone's defense for two full contracts. And he's going to rack up. And Shane, this is a word that you've never heard that I invented. He's going to get a bunch of sackles for you. He's just fast, explosive, and 240. And he plays that at backer and not end. But if someone has Thibodeau number one, okay. I don't have a problem with it. I just have Parsons ahead of him.
Well, and, you know, and sackles is a word that our Roto Heat community knows and nobody really likes. So it's kind of a Paul word that he's taken with him. And maybe one day it'll be a word people use. But so far that's come with mixed reviews. Parsons is super talented. I mean, the athleticism's off the charts. I mean, he can be a sideline-to-sideline guy. And he's probably arguably – depends on what you like. I mean, Moses and him are kind of the top ones, but Moses kind of falls down because of the injury. So, you know, Parsons is kind of the top linebacker. Shane, what do you think about Parsons? Are you a fan? Do you see him being big at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. I actually was kind of low on him. I went back and recently watched him a little bit more because I was working on scouting reports for Draft Site, and he was much better than I remember him being. And I was like, probably caught it. Sometimes you do that, right? You watch tape, you're having a bad day, and like you put a guy a little lower than you should be. I mean, the lateral agility is something that I think is phenomenal. Just his ability to move and find the right angle to take down a running back is pretty incredible. And I think that's something that's going to be useful at the next level. My only fear with him is that he could move to outside linebacker when we talk about IDP fantasy. I think he's a player who is so versatile and so athletic that on the right defense, he's Bobby Wagner, you know, inside. But I think you could also see, and Bobby Wagner had some of this, where there were a lot of teams that had him as an outside linebacker. They wanted him to set that edge. And Michael Parsons is such a good pass rusher that could happen. So that's my only trepidation, is not with his talent, but NFL fit. You always hate that, right? When you draft a guy and then he gets drafted to a team and it's just like, oh, that's not a position that's going to rack up a lot of tackles for me. I'm going to need, you know, sack heavy numbers. So I think he's still definitely in that top five. And yeah, I would agree with him being the top linebacker. I think that Paul's absolutely right in that.
I'm going to probably coin the phrase the Isaiah Simmons role, because that's my worry with a guy who's like Parsons. Like, when a team drafts him, are they going to do the Isaiah Simmons? And, you know, all the talk coming out of college was, well, is somebody going to make him a safety? Is he going to be a linebacker? Is he an outside linebacker? You know, and then Arizona drafted him and you're like, we still have all those same questions. What are they going to do with him? So that's my worry a little bit. You know, we want to see what happens, but Parsons has all the tools to be, you know, just a stud for years to come, which you like that.
On the upside though, he's also 245. He's not going to be a safety. I don't think he can play much edge, but it can help. I think he's pretty locked in the middle.
Do you think it's because of the way Penn State used him? Because I don't think Penn State really asked him to do some of those things that you would see an edge outside linebacker do because of where they put him. You know, that system could be what it's doing.
Yeah, he can blitz, but he's not an edge. And that's where I see his role as more solidified.
Yeah.
In the league.
Okay. My top guy is, I think he was probably actually the top guy, the IDP guy that I drafted. And he's very similar to Thibodeau, Gregory Rousseau, defensive end from Miami. You know, he got limited playing time, but just racked up the sacks. He's a young kid, good agility. He's got a great moves. I think he's kind of a no-brainer when he gets drafted that he'll be kind of one of those high-end guys. I was nervous at first because Miami's just been a team that has been poorly run for so long. You know, you think of the great players they've had on defense over the years, but that's a long time ago. And we haven't seen a lot of great defensive talent come from them in a long time. So I was a little nervous when I went to draft him this year. I'll be honest. I put him on the sheet and was like, I like the guy. I like what he did in limited opportunity. I think with a few more years and a little bit more weight and we continue to see this growth, I think he could be just a really dominant player in the league. Shane, what's your take on, and hopefully if you're watching Gregory Rousseau, I'm not butchering your last name because I could very well be, and I apologize if I am. Shane, what's your take on him? How do you feel about him? And was I crazy drafting him as early as I did?
No, I think he is my number two, number three. I think he's right there with Parsons for me. And not to bag on Pulse Florida State too much, I guess, but the Florida State game was where they just committed to not double teaming him, and I mean he just tore them apart. And Pitt did the same thing the week before. They just just one on one he wins. And what I like about him is I really felt like he does have more of pass rush moves than just one thing. Like he uses a rip swim move. He can use his power, especially his upper body strength, I think is really good. Very long. And we've seen him use some spin moves. Like he just does what he needs to do to get that penetration. And that's something that usually doesn't come, you know, as a redshirt sophomore. So, a redshirt freshman. So, you know, seeing him go into this redshirt sophomore season, I'm excited to see what that potential is going to be. I think Miami's defensive line, getting Quincy Roach and seeing their defensive tackles develop. I mean, this defensive line is going to be nasty. And I think he's going to have a lot more opportunities to go one-on-one sometimes I get scared the other way. Our team's just going to commit to him and let other people mess with him. So, but it's going to be fun. I think I have him as a top three pick in the 2021 draft. I think maybe top four, I guess. I think I have him fourth. So after the top two quarterbacks, Sewell, I think Rousseau's right there. I think if he has another season like he had last year, the sky's the limit depending on need for NFL teams. So you're going to get good draft capital with him, and he's going to be awesome.
My fear, you know, and I've been looking at some of the mock drafts, which I try not always to do because they always scare me. I've seen a few mock drafts peg him to the Jets. I'm like, if he goes to the Jets, he'll be an outside backer, and that'll be just terrible for his value, you know, and because I hate the Jets and their defense and the way they'd run things anyway. But that's for another show at another time. Paul, thoughts on Rousseau, feelings? What you feel about him?
Here's what my notes say. Word for word. He's got active hands, long, capitalized, disciplined. When he's in the open space, there were about two or three snaps I saw where they flexed him out and they had him out in space. And there was a little bit of a shot to absolutely crush someone, and he hit him without being or he was in control when he hit him. So I noticed that even when they put him inside playing tackle, he was disciplined. I don't think he's got the size for that in the NFL, but we'll see. I think he's a 4.6 or 4.7 athlete, and he shows solid effort. I think the floor on him is a little lower, despite, you know, all the praise. I think he could end up in the third round, but I also wrote that he could be the third overall as well. I'm just concerned that he's a little too long and he doesn't fill out. But he's got immense upside. He can play legit edge, legit tackle and maybe 3-4 end, like that power end. I'm a big fan of him. I just want to see it a second time through.
Yeah, when I think about Rousseau, I would love to see him in like a Vikings type defense as the Danielle Hunter type role, because he's just got that ability to just destroy behind the line. And you know, obviously, he could be taken in a lot of different spots. My hope is that somebody doesn't take him as a 3-4 kind of backer and have him just kind of as that outside guy. You know, but he's got the talent. I mean, I'm sure he could do it. I just, you know, when I look at him, I see him as kind of a 4-3 kind of edge guy, just because of that athleticism, just, you know, destroying quarterbacks. But we'll see. So, Shane, who's your next guy? We'll probably do, you know, maybe 2-3 guys. I mean, you know, we don't want to go too crazy deep and scare people off because they won't know who some of the guys are. But, you know, we'll talk about a few. So, Shane, who's another guy that you really like on the defensive side?
I mean, I guess we could talk about Dylan Moses. Yeah, we probably should have him with this group, you know. It'd be fun to be different, I guess. But I think he's the next guy. Now he was out last year with that injury. He's kind of Alabama's middle linebacker taking over. And I really like Alabama's Shane Lee. I think I drafted in Pinnacle, who kind of took over for him. I like a lot, too. But, I mean, Dylan Moses is as a sophomore in, you know, 2018, just racked up tackles. He's one of those players you watch and you see that leader of the defense. He has a really good pre-snap judgment. He's really good, I think, at adjusting Alabama's defense, which is an important part. I think it's why you see a lot of Alabama linebackers get selected, because they're usually calling those shots of what the offense is doing. So high football IQ. He was in the backfield a number of times. I think his instincts against the run is really good. He's not going to give you a ton, you know, pass rush wise. He's a little bit light. And, you know, you want to see how he's going to bounce back after missing a whole season. But in terms of, you know, inside linebackers in fantasy, they're going to get tackles. That is the golden standard of IDP. And I think Dylan Moses is going to be a big tackle guy. I could even see him, you know, in a 3-4 defense in the inside, in that kind of Ryan Shazier type of role. He can cover decently, who kind of has that athletic ability. So I like Dylan Moses. I do want to see another year. Hopefully we have football and I can see him play again. But he should be in that top four with these other three guys.
Yeah, he's the biggest question mark for me, because he's such a good tackler, such a sure tackler. But if we don't see football this fall, I wouldn't touch him, because you just don't know what you're going to get. Now you're looking at like 2 years off. How did he heal up? How's he feeling? You know, I would let somebody else take the risk on him, because that would just be too high for me. But he is by far probably my favorite linebacker in college when healthy, because he's just such a – I mean, you said it. IQ is high. I mean, he's – when you've got such an intelligence, and as I'm watching footage of him, I'm like, wow, like you're kind of in awe of a guy who knows what they're going to do. And the way he was moving people around and getting them into positions to be successful it was amazing. It was a thing of beauty. And I just wish that, you know, my Detroit Lions or Michigan Wolverines would pay attention a little more to teams like this, because, you know, that's how your linebacker, especially your Mike, should be playing. So Paul, what do you think about Moses?
He's had a pretty amazing change the last 3 years. I remember scouting him out of IMG, and I remember thinking this guy's a boom or bust edge guy, and he's an edge guy only. And then he went to Bama, and he plays inside, and not only does he not do edge, but he plays inside well. If he doesn't have the knee injury, he's a top half first rounder this year, more than likely. He's got the speed, he's got the brain, which, again, I don't know how that happened, because he played out on the edge out in high school. He learned it super fast. He's a sure tackler. He plays in space well. He could easily end up being the first IDP off for next year in your rookie drafts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, Paul. So who is your next IDP?
I'll be honest. I don't have a lot of leagues that go this deep for me to sit here and say, hey, this guy's my fourth or fifth or whatever. I'm going to just stick with who I know. And I'm going to go see here. Should I go with the tackle and the tackle leagues? I'm going to go with Hamza Nasruddin. And I don't necessarily think this guy's the top overall safety, but the way that he plays, where he's the strong safety only, he can be a very valuable fantasy player. I think there was one game where he racked up something like 20 solos, which is just sick. He's all over the field. He's a sure hitter. His hands are trash, but, you know, that's okay. That's why he plays defense. But he's just someone that always finds his way around it. And I don't think that a lot of the community thinks that this guy is elite like I do, at least from a fantasy perspective.
He's got the frame and the size, and he looks like a really, really nice safety. But then when you watch him play, it's like, did he see where the football went? Because oftentimes it looks like he's having trouble tracking the ball. And as powerful as he is, and it looks like he's he kind of makes me think of Tracy Walker, who's with my Detroit Lions. Real good hitter. He's got a nice, you know, he's got a nice pop to him when he hits a guy, but it's like he didn't see the ball. And that's my only real big knock on him when I was looking through, because he was actually, you know, I had three names written down of guys that I try to make sure I touched on. He was the safety because I wanted to show you some love with your FSU, and he's a guy that I like. But that's really my only big knock on him, is just the ball track. You know, as a safety, I would like to see you not only get me tackles, but also get me a few interceptions, and I just don't know that he'll, you know, ever get interceptions. I mean, unless he gets lucky and he's playing, you know, Darnold or somebody who's going to throw him the ball. I just don't know that's going to happen. So, Shane, what do you think about Hamza?
I think from Paul's point, I think the IDP value is very high. I think it's possibly very high when you have kind of a tackle safety, right? He's going to be in the box. I almost think, man, I'd like to have him playing linebacker because I think it would stop some of his deficiencies. I don't think he's very good in coverage. And as you pointed out, Brad, just kind of ball tracking and being able to adjust. He's very athletic. He almost has a little bit of that Isaiah Simmons where you can plug him in the back or put him in the front or move him around the defense, let that athleticism and tackling ability take over. But I definitely, I don't want to see him covering Travis Kelce, you know, like it's going to be bad. My fear with him is just, is he going to come in and get immediate playing time? Is he someone that is going to start immediately? But I think the upside is big for him to be. I mean, getting 101 tackles this season is pretty good. I think the upside for him to be a big IDP tackle player is something to keep in mind. If he gets drafted, you know, in the third round of the NFL draft, and maybe he'll start, maybe he won't. I mean, you can get him super late in a rookie draft, and I think stash him on a bench or taxi squad. And if he ends up starting, I think the tackle number is going to be really good.
Absolutely. I can't argue that. The thing that would be tough, though, is I think his value takes a hit if he slides to an outside backer type position, because of safety, you know, most teams are going to try to funnel that action towards him and he'd get more tackles. As an outside backer, I mean, he could, you know, overrun the play, be kind of way out there. So I don't know if they move him into kind of that role. He's got the frame to hold the weight, though. You know, at 6'4", he could easily be 230, you know, 235 and should still be good. But, you know, I think his value is better from a fantasy perspective, obviously, as a safety. Obviously, the NFL doesn't care about fantasy, but, you know, definitely a guy to, I think, keep an eye on, because this year will be big for him. I would love to see him improve, and you know, even if he can bring down 2 to 4 interceptions, that makes me feel a little bit better about his ability. And even if we see some more pass breakups or, you know, or something, I want to see that speed up for him, because it could just be that, you know, he's picking up that part of his game is a little slower to pick up. And, you know, maybe it's the coaching. Obviously FSU hasn't always had the greatest coaches in the last 10 years. So if he can get a, you know, a D-backs coach to help him out, you know, maybe he gets better at that. So I'm going to bring up another safety, kind of a guy that I think people are kind of hot and cold on him. I like him. I drafted him in Pinnacle because I think that he's got a lot of the things you want to see. He's a little bit smaller as an undersized safety, but Richard LeCount from Georgia, I think he's got a lot of the things that Hobbs doesn't have, minus the fact that the size. You know, I think LeCount is a little bit better tracking the ball, a little bit better in coverage. The areas that I'm worried about is mostly because of his size. I think he probably projects more as like a single high safety when he gets to the NFL, would be my guess. But I think he's one of those guys that can give you everything you want. The only concern, obviously, you know, I think he's under 6 foot. He's like 5'11", 5'10", something like that. So, Shane, what do you think about LeCount?
I have him. I think right now I have him as my number five safety in the class. And I think they're all very close. Like, I like LeCount. And I think the NFL is going to like him. I think they're probably going to be less worried about the size and really like his ability to get interceptions, to catch the ball. I mean, yeah, I think he's one of the best ball catching safety in this upcoming class. He's a guy that kind of turns into a receiver when he has position and can do really well with that. And then even take it for big plays. And I thought his best games were against the best talent, which to me is always a plus too. Obviously you get worried about the size when you're under, he's under 200 pounds. He's on the small side. I mean, I've heard good things about him as a leader. And the other thing that kind of gets me with him, and I agree with you, he probably has to play single high with his size, but he does get tight. And when he pedals back, his hips can kind of lock up. And I don't know if it's kind of a hesitation thing or what, but I think he's really just got to loosen up. If he can get really loose and move really fluidly, then I think he can still make it. And he's just very streaky too. Like, there's definitely some drives where just play after play, he's in position, he's doing what he has to do, tight coverage. I'm like, man, okay, this guy's good. Then the next drive, you know, he lowers his head trying to tackle someone and misses him. And I'm like, what's happening? Stop. You know, those guys can kind of be just madden you a little bit. So I think the big playability is there. I think if he puts together a really good season, he absolutely could be the top safety in this class. Even without the size, but I probably think we're looking at day two draft capital due to the size and maybe some of the deficiencies, but definitely a guy to keep an eye on, especially in big play leagues. Man, if you get big points for interceptions, he's someone, if he ends up starting in the NFL, could do some good things.
What say you, Mr. Paul?
Yeah. I haven't watched a ton of him, but from what I've seen, I'm going to echo a lot of what you guys are saying. I remember he was a huge recruit a couple years ago, and he just hasn't lived up, but he still has the athlete in there. I have seen some of the inconsistencies in him, but like I said, I haven't watched a ton on him just because I don't play leagues that are deep enough where a free safety is someone that I'm looking at as a hopeful. I would just rather grab some of the other positions. But there's a reason he didn't come out this year, and there's a reason why he could be a high selection next year as well. And both of those show.
Right. Okay, so we have, as we're, you know, 50 minutes in, we're going to wrap it up. But we have a question. And we're going to rapid fire because it's three different names. So these are all Michigan men. So Paul may or may not know anything about these guys. But Shane, I know Shane well. So Michael Barrett, who is the linebacker from Michigan. Ada Hutchinson, who is a defensive end. And Ambry Thomas, who's a corner. I'll start with you, Shane. And then I'll give my very biased opinion about them. And then we'll go to Paul. Shane, what do you think about these guys?
First, I love Aiden Hutchinson. I think he's He's in my top four defensive ends in this class. I think he could be a first round pick. I mean, just the violence and lower body strength is great. I can't say I watched too much of Michael Barrett. I think he had more of a special teams role, right? Some of that kind of trickeration stuff too. Was interesting. I'm interested to see how he develops. I think he's not a guy I really have on my radar yet. Ambry Thomas is interesting. I think he's definitely a draftable prospect. I thought he had some good games. I thought he had some bad games. But I think the athleticism and length are there. He just has to mentally kind of put it all together. I think that was kind of an issue for me with him.
Yeah. So my struggle with Barrett is that, you know, I think, and I'd have to look it up, so I could be wrong, but I think it was like a quarterback coming out of high school and they converted him to like a linebacker. He's undersized, underweight, you know, learning a new position. Michigan linebackers, unless you're Devin Bush, you know, I like the Michigan defensive linemen more than I like the linebackers. Devin Bush was just a rare talent. I don't know that Barrett's really going to make it to the league and be successful unless he's super smart, which I've yet to really been able to gather if he picks this position up better than, well enough. Because right now I think they've got him as an outside linebacker. So he's probably only really going to be on the field for, you know, the first two, possibly three snaps, maybe. He's probably a two-down guy at best, but he's not going to get a lot of playing time right now. Even though the defense is turning over, I don't see him getting a ton of work. Hutchinson is by far the biggest name of the three that Craig over on YouTube is asking about. He is a beast. My worry is that, you know, he's a better version of Gary because Rashawn Gary never produced consistently. Hutchinson is very consistent. I don't know that he's got the physical tools and talent that Gary did, but he's just a more consistent player all around. And I think that's what will make him more valuable when he gets to the next level. I think he has all the different moves. You know, his toolbox is full. He can be whatever. I hope that they don't move him inside, though. You know, I'm hoping when they come to camp, he's not like 280, 285, because then you see the Ed Oliver role where somebody tries to make him go inside, and that just diminishes his value. I like him on the outside better than I do on the inside. And Ambry Thomas, I will not draft a Michigan corner. Like, they're just so inconsistent. And most of the time, probably maybe a better safety than a corner, because look at all the other guys that Michigan's been pumping out here recently into the league. And I can't think of a guy that's really done well consistently. I don't, especially now that Michigan's changed coaches, I'm just not confident that secondary group can be coached up by what they've got. But maybe that's just because right now I'm just so over Harbaugh and all of his antics. And I just want Michigan to get over him and get somebody different. I wanted P.J. Fleck, but we have Harbaugh. Paul, what do you got? What's your take on any of these guys? Any of them interest you?
Do Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich still play for Michigan?
I wish they did, because I enjoyed watching them play in Michigan.
Yeah, I have no clue who any of those three are. And this is Craig showing off, and that's good work. I'll give him props. I'll give him the props on the homework there.
Well, and even Jason has a good one. Boye Mafi is an interesting prospect. I want to see more out of him, but I like what I've seen so far. You know, I think he's definitely and I feel like I say it more often than not, but I'm like, man, I'd love to see this guy add some more weight. He's one of those, I'd love to see him put a little more weight on and just continue to be who he is on the field, you know. But I like him. I like Minnesota as a whole. I think they're going in the right direction as a program. So,
yeah. Can I say about the weight issue too?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think NFL teams are a lot less caring about it now, because I think a lot of them have found that they can add that weight, right? So I think sometimes we get too wrapped up now. I think 10 years ago, yeah, like they wanted players to be what they're going to be. I think now NFL teams know that, hey, they could take a player 260 and they can get them up to 270, 275 in muscle. And these strength programs in the NFL have just gotten so good that they're not worried about that. And so I don't think it affects draft capital as much anymore.
Yeah, Yes, I don't argue that in the least. It's hard because you want to project them to the next level, and then you see some of these things, and you're like, okay, well, these guys they're going to be facing on Sundays are just monsters. You know, so then I get a little worried. And, you know, anybody who know anybody can ask Rick. He's always telling me, ah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. So I think you've got a very valid point. And one day I'll probably get over that, but that's not today. One day I'll get there though. Because guys like Shane will keep telling me, nah, nobody cares about that anymore. You're in the, you know, stop being a dinosaur and just get up with the times, old man. So that's it. So those are some of the top IDP names to be looking at, and some of the non-top IDP names to be looking at. Obviously, so those Michigan men are not top names except for Hutchinson. So thank you, guys. Shane, it is always an honor and a pleasure to have you. Tell everybody where they can find you. Tell everybody all the many things you're doing and brag on yourself for a minute.
Sure. Follow me on Twitter at Shane P. Hallam. You can follow that Pinnacle of Devi draft as well at Pinnacle of Devi if you want to follow each pick. I'll hopefully be doing some more with that on YouTube and whatnot as well. For me, I'm writing over at fakepigskin.com. I just did an article about if you're in a dynasty league and there is no NFL season, how do you determine your draft order? So I have a bunch of different scenarios and ways to determine that. And I'm working on, I'm in the FFPC Pros versus Joe's Dynasty Startup. I have 8 2021 first round picks so far in this startup, and I'm going to be writing about my experience. I already have 8 pages written about this startup and this unique strategy that I've approached. And then probably the big thing that's relevant for people out here, I'm going to be on the Devi Marketplace podcast. You'll be able to find it on Apple Podcasts and everywhere with Kane Fossil, and I'm really excited about that. We're going to have a good time. So and I appreciate Brad and Paul and Rick and you guys for having me on, man. Roto Heat, it's always a blast coming on here. I always have fun, and I hope you'll definitely have me on again.
Always. It's always a pleasure to have you on. It's always fun to talk to somebody who is just as crazy about college and some high school as I am. So Paul, thank you. Any closing words, Paul, before we get out of here? Is there anything else you want to add? The floor is yours.
Not really. I kind of want to ask Shane a couple questions offline here, but okay. No, I'm good. I kind of want to hop on Warzone and kill some fools with you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. As always, check out rotoheat.com. I've been posting some Pinnacle of Devi updates here and there. This is a new podcast for us. This is episode 4. So you will be seeing us once Apple and the Apple overlords approve us. You will see us on Apple Podcasts and all the other major platforms very soon. Hopefully this week still, from what it sounds like. So thank you, guys. Check out rotoheat.com. Check out at Rotoheat Fantasy on Twitter to stay up to date with everything that's going on. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devi Hour Podcast. Don't forget to check us out on rotoheat.com or on YouTube at Rotoheat.